Hi folks, I'm Alan Watt and this is Cutting Through the Matrix on the 21st of July, 2019. The first thing I should really say is I hope you're all getting by, as we say, getting by with all the hype about, my God, it's summer and we're supposed to roast, etc. We've never had a summer before, you know, because all media now is going to have a hype when it's on the format and on the agenda of constantly training the public. We're living in crisis, and the reason you're living in crisis is because you exist. And so because you exist and you're causing the crisis, they're going to tell you, you're going to pay for it. And you've got to allow the big professionals to manage your lives from birth to death, you see. You just can't go on like the way you've been going on forever. There are certain things you're allowed, mind you, and certain things which are absolutely taboo. And it's not hard to find what's allowed and what's not and so on. It's very much along the lines, actually, of what Aldous Huxley said. He said that people come to love their servitude. And I've known that's been true probably all my life, I suppose, because most folk want to get by without drawing attention to themselves. They don't want to get noticed, which is fine. And the problem is, it's fine until really you need people to stand up occasionally and say that's enough and stop it, to make people back off, and governments too, with the policies, because the governments are certainly not there to serve the public. That's a complete farce. If you can't figure that out by now, but it's never been so evident and in your face, then you'll never figure it out. But you are going through, again, transition. This is the century of change, remember, the great transition that they kept talking about, where everything that existed before in your system had to be annihilated, really, and to bring in the new. That's how it's done. And that's all the old moralities, the old religions that were basically taught in all countries. And you can have new ones, which you're told which they are, you're trained what they are because they sound exciting, and you can start to manage magic, basically, all the programs on TV for 30 years now, probably, to make it all enticing. You can have power over everybody and everything. That's allowed, because there's no rules to it, except, once again, you got to obey the system that allows you to do all this. Do you realize, there's a trade-off for everything you do, and the system which will knock down any other system of religion, and they are all religions, I don't care what, they try to see some of them are spiritual, spirituality. No, it's the same thing, all religions have spirituality in them, don't kid yourself. So believe you me, if you're allowed to do certain things and get away with them, then there's a payoff, and a payback, you must pay them back for what they're doing, because the system you're living in is very clever, it's very old, it's not some abstract, amorphous, willy-nilly, willy-the-wisp system at all. It's incredibly well coordinated, it's incredibly well managed, and it's been here for an awful long time. And of course, with the internet today, it's got more power than ever before, with tracking everybody's movements and what they do, what they think, right down to all the experiments they've done, and you don't even know they've done on you, to prompt you and nudge you into thinking the correct ways of looking at certain things, you see. And that's how it's done. Most folk don't even know they've been trained. They don't even know why they get angry at certain topics that are brought up. That's because in a Pavlovian style sense, they've been conditioned to react like that when certain topics or words even come up. And more will be added in the future, and they'll adapt to them too without even thinking about it. And they'll get angry when these topics are mentioned, or when any topics are, or names again, or whatever happens to be at the time. And they really will bethink that whatever opinions they're professing are their own. It's very, very easy to do. You can take a basic search, any basic search, for those who are interested in it at all, into behaviorism and the psychologies to do with behaviorism. It's unbelievable. You go on forever looking at all the different universities teaching all this stuff, all the jobs that the people have got out there for big corporations and etc. And governments still using them all the time. Oh, it's endless. There's so much of it to do with behavior management, basically, and to change behavior again, to make it malleable to suit those who own you. You're owned, you understand. And that's how companies and corporations see you. You're becoming a product. You are a product. In fact, when you enter, I don't get out much. And so when I get into town, I do see the changes very quickly. And I don't watch television. So I have to sometimes ask people, where did this come from, that come from? Where did the fad, for instance, this is an example of these very, very narrow pants, generally black, they're all wearing, men or women, doesn't matter. And I guess they're stretchy or something, because you'd swear they were painted on them. And they'd have to be stretchy, because I don't know how they'd even get their feet through them at the bottom. It must be an awful, awful nuisance. But they're all kind of form. And that's part of the talk, perhaps, a little bit of the talk, maybe not. But the fact is, people tend to conform, and that's what I'm telling you. People get their heads down, most conform, they don't want to be noticed too much, so they want to be like everybody else. And the behaviorists understand this perfectly well, and psychologists, the neuroscientists, etc. And they're always testing out on you. They truly are. In every town that's got a university, even the high schools, for goodness sake, they do these experiments sometimes on behaviourism and get some shopkeepers to agree to participate with silly little things you would think, but they're showing you how people conform to behaviour changes. I saw it myself, even in Sudbury one day in a store, a small store, it sells things very cheaply, which, I mean, you understand what they are, you can figure out the name of it yourself, but there's a bunch of people in eventually, kind of walking around, and you have a sense there when there's something up, you know, like candid camera type thing. But when I went down to the checkout counter, a whole bunch of folk just all went down just before me, you see, and they're standing there, and they're at least 30 feet from the checkout counter, like it was a little corral type place. And I looked around to see why they all stopped there, and there's no sign anywhere saying stop and wait here, you know, until so-and-so before you was being served who's standing at the actual checkout counter. And there's no one person at the checkout counter getting served. And I looked at the people, I said, how would they all know this? How would they all know to stop right here? And of course, it is an experiment, and I'm sure it probably was done with one of the colleges or something. And be on camera to show you conformity and how people conform. And the few folk in the front would be little paid, or even students, and give you bucks for it, to participate and pretend that, you know, that they are customers. And they'll stand there, and you're supposed to stand and think, well, there should be some unwritten code here. Most folk will stay there, you see. I didn't, naturally, but I'm sure that's what was going on. I'll put up a link, in fact, which ties in maybe to the talk or talks I've given in the past as well. And I mentioned Mr. Brown before, who's a great stage performer with his acts, and who certainly has a lot of training for sure in behaviourism and the psychologies of people, especially in groups, etc. And he shows you, in one of his shows, how people conform so quickly, so incredibly quickly. And I think he called it the ring test, maybe that's what he called it, just because there's no name at the time for it. But you have a little waiting room, well, and there's a bench there, or a bunch of seats, I should say, all next to each other, maybe six or seven, and everyone's coming in to fill in a job form, basically. And the person comes in, the rest of them are already there, filling out their form, and they all sit facing the same way. And the person at the end doesn't know, and it's a bell rings, and everybody stands, or the three people stand up, I should say, there's only three there, and then a new person comes, that's four. And so the three of them stand up, and the other one says, oh, I better stand up too, again. And stand up, and then it rings again and sit down, you see. So the person sits down with the other three. Well, the three, of course, know what they're doing, and they're the actors. And they do this a couple of times, and then one or two of the three who are actors leave and are replaced by new folk who are genuinely trying to get a job and they want to fill the form. So they come in, and this time you got half and half, basically, of folk already conditioned to stand up who are new, are fairly new, and brand new ones, and who will automatically copy the ones who've just been trained. That they've just been trained, that's it, the whole thing. They've just been trained in a matter of minutes to conform to something that makes no sense, but it's almost like custom habit, but it's conformity. Of course, there's always a one or two in any group that won't conform. They think for themselves, and they're a bit brighter, actually. These are the kind of people who will see trouble coming, because they're aware, and they're probably vamoose long before it actually arrives. The rest of them, I'm afraid, if even the fake actors, for instance, the actors saw danger coming and stayed there, the rest of them would probably just copy them and stay there too till the bitter end. That's unfortunately how easy it is to alter the behaviour of people by using the behaviour. Most folk are conformists, they'll adapt, they don't want to stand out, they don't want to be pulled up for, well, didn't you see, you're supposed to stand up when that bell rings, and they don't want that, they'll avoid anything, actually, any kind of conflict at all, especially something that's a reprimand for their behaviour or not doing certain things. That was even in the movie Fight Club, and in Fight Club, it's a comedy, of course, and this little piece in there where it shows you that the people who are passing by, who are having water sprayed on them and things like that, would do anything rather than confront people who are annoying them or doing the dirt. They'll do anything, they'll try to get around it or walk away or ignore it until you can't ignore it and so on, but they wouldn't retaliate. That's most people. And that's how things really are. Not only is this understanding so important to behaviourists, in order to change and alter and have you adapt to new behaviours that they plan for you. And that's how bad it is today, so it's so obvious. Aldous Huxley talked about it quite a lot, that governments actually depend on the knowledge that most folk will always just do what they're told. And of course, that's also why horrible things happen in history. That's why you always have incredible slaughters, even from the Bolshevik Revolution, even before that, going back to the French Revolution, the incredible slaughter once these things get started, of course, and they tend to eat their own. As time goes on, the communists did the same thing too. That's just a way of it. You'll find they end up eating their own because they get things out of hand. And then personal fights and power plays get in the way too, and they try to get each other beheaded with a guillotine, as it did in France. And all you needed eventually was an accusation, and the mob just complied immediately without a thought, and it just kept going and going and going. So it was really bringing France to not just to, it wasn't in a new era, it was almost to the end of its existence. It got so bad, of pure horror. But most of it will comply. And again, even Animal Farm had it too. George Orwell's Animal Farm, the compliance that you had the sheep, and the sheep, of course, are always a cheering mob. They'll cheer for the system that the leader tells them to worship, and they will shout four legs good and two legs bad against the humans, basically. And they'll chant it and chant it through slogans. And when the slogan changes to four legs bad, they still say it because they don't think much, you see. They're like automatons. And you look at the crowds that there are, and you can rent. In England and elsewhere too, you can rent huge crowds pretty well. They'll come out and protest anything at all. And they're actually international now for in Europe. Some of them were trained years ago. I remember it years ago. And I can't remember if it was Hungary. I mean, maybe been Hungary at the time. Not Czechoslovakia, one of the two. But they had a school there. Because in Canada and in the States, you kept seeing these folk dressed in black outfits that now they call it anti-fa. But back then, it was always anti-globalist meetings at the time. But they were professionals. And I think a few documentaries were made on them actually by the Canadian television and others too. They were trained on agitation and disruptive techniques and so on. And they would go out to these globalist meetings and they would do the real violent stuff to get riots going. That's what they were hoping to do. It was found out they were actually paid to do this by an organization based over, as I say, in Europe. So it's turned into something else. I'm sure it's the same financing by the same people that are behind the Antifa as well. The whole idea is to get the riots starting because most folk are peaceable in the protests. That's just the way it is. No one wants to get their heads bashed in. And governments and authorities will do that if necessary, in fact. I can remember when they were training people in Canada with the initial anti-globalist groups how to combat them, basically. And they showed you the techniques that they were training the police in Toronto with, for instance, with the banging on their shields, all dressed in black, these guys like something out of some Star Wars movie, black armor and all that, and then their big shields and they're bang, 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 and then they step forward and they're bang, bang, bang. It's like something out of Zulu, the movie, and that's probably where they got it all from. It's all psychological intimidation and fear and threats and so on. But don't ever underestimate them, because when it comes to the crunch, these guys will go in swinging, whatever they've got to swing, on your head, etc. Because ultimately, government runs on force. You remember that. And police forces are called forces. So intimidation generally has you to comply, and then force is used. And when force is authorized to be used, they generally go all out. That's just the way it is. So when you get professionally trained agitators to go over into any meeting, a group or whatever, who literally will throw the firebombs at cars and trucks and so on, and do other things as well to get the riot starting, in the hope, you see, because it's another thing to do with human behavior. Once they start swinging clubs, other folk lose their temper who would normally wouldn't riot at all, and they'll fight back. So you've got the whole mob fighting the authorities. That's how it's all worked out in strategy. The anarchists, of course, some of the anarchist groups are well trained in this stuff too, how to get it all started. But we live in an age where government counts on conformity and the knowledge, the perfect knowledge, and the constant surveys that are done on people all the time to show that people are just the same, and a certain percentage are, well, they don't like this, the policies here, they don't like that, a certain percentage, we'll say, but overall, X amount of people, which is the majority of them, will just accept it, even if they don't like it. And that's how government works today. Constant surveys, constant. And, again, through technology, and that's the key to it too, they have perfect understanding of the technological system, the cybernetic system, really, of Wiener and Norbert Wiener, who came up with cybernetics on how to control people, and even wrote another book along with it called The Human Use of Humans, you see? And it really is, his whole theory was the world was just too chaotic. He worked with other bigger groups, of course, naturally, but the theory was that the world's too chaotic and people are too unpredictable because of a different variety of personality types, that they'd have to really create a form of training and of conformity and train people into conformity in order for him and other folk like him to feel safe, basically. And so the idea was even to link people with machines and technologies, and through technologies they could then prompt human behavioural changes. Well, we're completely immersed in that stuff today, even though he wrote his books initially back in the late 40s, it was. So you see, things aren't happening by themselves. The computer, I didn't even mention the computers, but early 1950, would eventually help run our lives, etc., to make us conform to a set of behaviours which are the better, as the professionals would manage for us, through the use of mathematics and algorithms, and it's all here. Nothing happens by itself, any more than the theories he came out with were his own either. That's really how it is. Most of the biggest characters in history that you're given to do with technology, especially through 20th century and 21st century, are in a sense front people who are selected by very powerful organisations that run basically the planet today. People don't come out of nowhere and are elevated with big, massive, millions, maybe even billions of dollars publicity to meet them as some kind of genius figure, when all they are generally are businessmen. not inventors or anything. Quite amazing. And Wiener himself, he was a mathematician. But he was a political mathematician. And that's where he put the mathematics to. Just like mathematics, you always want to make sure, at least we used to in the old days, want to make sure that 2 and 2 equals 4. Then Wiener wanted to be absolutely certain, without doubt, that even if there's a glitch in our human makeup, or brain, an aberration for a split second, that 2 and 2 would guaranteed to come out as 4 every time and everybody. Or maybe 5, it depends what it is. Because you don't forget, too, to create people who are conformists, you also have to eradicate, or even make it a taboo to have certain kinds of behaviour or opinions, naturally, especially if those opinions are very individualistic, you see. And we're living through all of this today. We have all the nudge units on working, the behavioural insights teams working, and of course you get punished even for mentioning the stuff that I'm talking about right now. And that's how bad it is now, understand? Nothing's missing you. You can't see these things and get missed. You will get punished by them, because we have the overlords who have been put in front of us to worship, you see. And they're incredibly rich, they're front people really, but they're following a mandate that was on the go and planned and published and written long before they came along. You understand? That they're basically fulfilling a role, they're a role player basically. And just like Aldous Huxley said, they can make it seem in a sense, for most folk who are again conformists, remember, who will always adapt to be the same as everybody else. They were the lumpen proletariat that Marx talked about, in fact. And so they don't have to understand things, or they just want to not get noticed, you see, so they adapt. And if everything they adapt to, including what they look like, is a telling sign. I mean, I was in town just on Friday, in fact. I say I don't go out much at all, especially in town. I have no interest in town or looking at crowds or stacks of cars and travelling and so on. I do the basics and that's it, just get out again. But you do notice things, and you see how quick things change when you only go in maybe once every month or two, you see. Sometimes three. But you'll see big changes in the dress, the modes of conduct and so on, what people wear, right down to even tattoos, more and more and more tattoos. And even the tattoos, if you understand, in the 1960s, psychologists at that time, the 1960s and 70s, they said that lots of studies, again, on human behavior, but were always studied by our owners. And at that time, you see people who were in prison and who rebelled against the system, they got in a prison. That's the kind that would have tattoos, or pirates in a sense, you see. And that's also validated by the big crime lords in the world. You have like the Japanese, they have their own system there too for the crooks, and they have their incredibly tattooed bodies, and everything's symbolic, of course, all the different things are put onto them. And you'll find that in China too, and different triad gangs. But you also find it in the Russian gangs. And some of the Russian gangs aren't just Russian. It's quite amazing. I didn't even know it myself until I read a great article on a guy who was getting released from a prison in Britain after several years, but he was from Russia. And he had all these tattoos on him. He's a pretty much an older guy now. But he was boasting about what some of them meant, and he was explaining about, just like masonry, you know. But he was explaining about the different star symbols on his chest, for instance, and this one means that you're this is your rank, and this one means, and this is talking about big crime, big organized crime, and he said that and this one means that you never kneel to anyone. You've reached a higher degree, you don't have to kneel to anyone, and if you're below a certain degree, you do have to kneel to the guy above you. It's quite fascinating to see that this getting done, and talking about amazing tattoos are covered with them. This is an old idea with them. So tattoos, as I say, even back in the 60s, the psychologists were generally criminal classes or people who had been put in prison. In the Western countries, it was generally folk who were tattooing themselves in prison, etc., just to rebel, to say, you know, get lost, etc. But now, the studies all say something different. This is the beauty, again, of having the access to a lot of the information that you get. You can compare things. And it's great to see psychologists having great beliefs in this, that, and the other, and then the latest study comes out a few years later, and it's completely opposite. Because they say that the tattoos are to show your individuality, you know, and that kind of stuff. You know, you're showing your individuality. You're not like the mainstream. Well, guess what? When you get all the folk looking with tattoos, they're the majority. How can you be different when that becomes the majority? You understand what I'm saying? So that's all bogus, too. So, of course, I said, well, who's the main target? Who's the main target of tattoos? And on whose skin do you see most of the tattoos with all the colours on it? Well, it's rather obvious, isn't it? So you're seeing them being mutilated and put into a category in people's minds of being degenerates in a sense, even if they're not. Even if it's become popular by the creation of popular culture, which creates all the fads, you see. Because that's really where they're getting it all from years and years of years. Even, so I did a search on that and to find out where the first series of TV programming on tattoos and then make it popular with characters in the TV series and also and the reality TV shows of tattooing going on. Stacks and stuff. Like, you wouldn't believe it, going back for years. And that's what creates... The people would never think of this themselves, folks. You got to remember, too, back in the 90s, actually, even, I don't know, it was as far back as that, you had the girls, I don't know where it all came, again, through TV again, suddenly they all had these wearing pullovers with sleeves that are going past their fingertips. Huh? That all came from TV. You understand how you're handicapping yourself if you can't use your hands, eh? Hmm? And they look like waifs, like nobody's child, you know, poor sad-looking things. And then, after 2000, you had a fad there, where in the middle of winter, they just had to, because it was all through the TV programming, and they would always copy what they saw, again, conformity, copy, bare bellies, in the middle of winter, frozen stiff. I bet he was glad that went away, that one, eh? And now, of course, it's tattoos, and it's basically, it's almost like spandex pants and tights that men and women are wearing pretty well. And even then, they can't figure it out, apart from being able to show off with sleeveless stuff, their tattoos and all that, you know. It's more and more than we're getting them, which means, how can you be an individual when you've all got them? That's where it'll go eventually, you see. But again, what you're seeing as a purpose by those who give you the fad, you see. When you look at, as I mentioned, the cashless society, for instance, I've done talks before about how clothing was designed with cargo pants and no deep pockets, so you couldn't even have a wallet back in the 90s. And the young folk, again, always the same age group, would adapt, and they had these kind of flat-looking pockets with the buttons or whatever on them, and they're called cargo pants. And that was so that you would start walking around with credit cards and debit cards as opposed to having actual cash. No nasty bumps of cash, et cetera, and coin, you see. And so you get trained that way. It's so easy to do, isn't it? Because your masters want you to go cashless, because then they can track everything you're buying, you see. And that'll come down to your credit score eventually. Just like China has it too, but they're using the same data that we've got here on all of us, you see. Where you're going to get pointed out for breaking certain rules. Or you had meat twice this week, you see. And they'll know you bought it, because there's the receipt, the electronic receipt on the internet, you see. All your stuff. And you'll feel really nasty, and they'll point it out to all the people. Isn't, you know, citizen so-and-so a really nasty person? He's let you all down by having more than his fair share of blah, blah, blah. He's destroying the rainforest and that by having that beef burger. And you think, I'm kidding, don't you? You're getting trained. And of course, when you look at what they're wearing right now, there's nowhere you can put anything pretty well on, not even hardly even a credit card. Maybe you'll just get that somewhere. But it's meant, so eventually you will take a chip, which is going to be, and they've done many shows of different things they can do with chips on your skin, or even ones that can even stencil on your skin, just like a tattoo, and scan it over, and it'll be so trendy. And you want to be trendy, don't you? You want to be really trendy. And also, too, with these again, these are almost like painted on pants they've got. It makes them all look so skinny, so which it's meant that thin people are the in people, you see? When they're telling you eat less, and definitely cut it pretty well all meat, because that's the agenda. And it's published by the big groups that run the environmental system for you. And no, it's not the guys in the streets protesting at the bottom. It's the folk who gave them all these ideas, you see. You have the Club of Rome, you have all these different groups. Dreamt this up long ago, you see. Long ago. So yeah, you'll be really skinny, you see. And that's the way to be, yeah. Until you hit the winter and you'll be frozen stiff. Because you'll need some kind of something in your body to get like fat to burn off and keep you warm. But again, once they get you into all the proteins that you need to get, the enzymes that go along, you know, they need from meat and so on, and then they've already admitted you're more prone to different diseases and infections and so on. And with the subsequent push, or the parallel push to reduce energy consumption and so on, eventually to rationing status, then people might start dying off. Maurice Strong talked about this gleefully when he talked about the necessity to eradicate Western civilization, including its industry, years ago. These great heroes, you see, Maurice Strong, the Biodiversity Treaty, etc., that eventually ends up being, you know, they're dealing with the whole environment and the climate and everything else that comes along, because it's all one system of control. But you'll be okay with your painted on pants, and everybody will look much the same. You see, conformity, because you can squeeze into them and say, okay, yeah, except if you go overboard and you've got an extra beef pie there, you know, or an extra sausage, oh my God. And everybody will point to you, just like they did in that movie, The Body Snatchers, eh? Where the woman eventually sees Donald Sutherland, and they're all trying to pretend that they're not infected or taken over and cloned with these big aliens and so on. And she walks across the street, and Sutherland turns around because he's been taken over too. She doesn't know it until he looks at her with these strange eyes and opens his mouth wide and goes, oh, and points at her, you see. And because that's how you're going to be, because you're being bad, 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 and everybody's going to give you nasty comments. Nasty citizen, so-and-so. That's nasty. you're letting us all down. Conform, you see, conform. And just like Darren Brown's conformity experiment, which is a standard experiment he's been doing forever, isn't his idea. They'll all be, you know, they've all conformed and you haven't. So you better do it fast, or you're an outcast. My goodness, you're an outcast. And you'd be bad, bad, bad. And you all want to be good, 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 and get little plus signs, little gold stars for your report cards. And I'm not kidding about this, folks. You're already having incredible backlash from the systems that you've been forced into, which is the internet, and everything goes with it. And again, you're giving people, supposedly, who now control it, these walking gods, you see, these new gods that are launched with massive money behind them into a stardom thing. They're kind of stars, when they're not stars at all. They're just like businessmen front people. But they're going to get hit. They're going to hit you hard, hard, if you point out the reality of what's going on. Reality is forbidden, folks. It's forbidden. Absolutely. Absolutely forbidden. Warning about the system. Just warning folk to be cautious. That's forbidden too. And they're ruthless about it. And they're penalizing folk for having opinions. Do you understand where it's all going to go? Now, most folk, sure enough, will conform and have conformed. And they'll play forever. And they'll play away all the years of their life looking at fantastic seascapes and things and play, play, play and be good and be left alone. But at the same time, they won't do anything either, you see. They're dust in the wind. They're forgotten, that's it. They've been good citizens. But the world and civilization was never built with just good citizens. It took real individuals, not front people, parading as real individual geniuses, because they're not. But it took real people in the past, and recent past too, to give us any ideas of true beauty, and even respect for human life and for the human condition. Even compassion for the human condition. You can criticize the things that humans can do at times, but you gotta have compassion as well, because we are all human, I think. But again, as I say, I'll put up some links tonight to do with this very topic of cybernetics and things that, as I say, that Aldous Huxley knew. He knew, he mentioned it on George Wallace's show, that he was worried about the techniques. He knew the techniques existed. He called the hypnopedia and things like that. He knew it was way ahead of that, the behavioral sciences. And he had good access to the data too in his day, including the fact that he was so well connected with the Tavistock Institute, where he did all this experimentation. And even then, way back in his day, at that time on that show, they were already putting straight wires into folks' brains during the Delgado-type experiments on actual humans. They did some excellent movies about that too, by the way, with Christopher Walken in one of his earlier movies, The Mind Snatchers, was about that, where he plays a young American soldier who's a bit of a cocky little low-level type psychopath type in the military, and he suddenly gets transferred to this private hospital and ends up being used as an experiment. And great to the very end, it's never going to work with him, but he ends up with getting the wires put in. And those days they did have the early Delgado stuff too, where they had an external buzzer thing, basically. It would just buzz the part of the, it would make a connection, and the wires went in the brain and would make contact, and certain parts of the brain could be stimulated to be very passive. Or the other one to do was a rat experiment on humans, where they could make them sexually aroused, so they would do nothing except play with themselves forever. Until the stage that, like the rats, they would eat, etc. That was done. These things were done on people. And it's not imagination there's old documentaries that were done, it's actually filmed for the experiments at the time. And some of them are now available to the public if they do searches for them. So Walken plays a young officer that this is actually done on. So we're living in a system where things that you see manifesting in your lifetime are just the latest version of the same experiments. Today it's you have mind manipulation, not just through all the data and the sequencing of data and how they format the data to be sequenced when you're looking at certain stuff. If you follow the prompts now, you wouldn't believe you're being guided perfectly to come to an opinion you haven't even thought about yet, because you're following what they're prompting you to do. It's so perfect, the system, and it works with most people. I can remember a long time ago they talked about in warfare, for instance, that most of the weaponry for warfare is made to hit the vast majority of people. And especially when it came down to even biowarfare, there's always a certain percentage, they thought back then, who had a natural resistance to certain bacteria that they'd actually made it to be evolved, etc. But some people still had a resistance to it, they knew that. But most folk would succumb, and that's what most weaponry is for, to hit most people. Of course, since then, too, they've been trying to get weapons, and even in that area of biowarfare, that would kill everybody they'd be targeting, including ethnic-specific warfare, where those with certain genes from background ethnos, they would get targeted and very, very effective too. Like the Kelly, in fact, that was killed in Britain. That's part of the reason I think he was eventually found suicided, as he said he would be, pending the court case that was coming up. And he was found the way he said he would be found, exactly. He knew it was going to happen. But that's what he had been done, doing it with a joint British, I think it was Israeli thing at the time, with the two governments working together on that particular thing. And they had articles, and it was a Daily Mail and a Telegraph. I remember I kept them, I got them somewhere years ago, where a reporter was allowed in to Porton Down establishment in England. And that's the big biowarfare, one of the big biowarfare facilities there. Not just biowarfare, but all kinds of advanced warfare techniques are drafted and tested out there. He did say he was fascinated listening to scientists come in the morning around the table having their coffee, talking about, quite casually, about death destruction statistics and coverage and ethnic-specific viruses and bacterium. And some of the viruses could be released that would travel across the country, do all this damage within a week, and 7 days exactly, it would just start dying off itself. You pre-program them, and then an army could then go in, and everybody's been killed off, you see. It's very precise stuff, that whole area. Yeah, you'd have to be a psychopath to work, of course, in those areas, and a lot of them are. I think most of them are, in fact. And their families, and they can, but they don't crash with the knowledge of what they're doing. And psychopaths don't hold on to frustration or anger. They must release it immediately on, generally by working out through some other people. But they'll sit back and smile as they get people arguing and fighting. But they're excellent for scientists and so on, because they don't, nothing worries about, nothing at all worries them. I think you all saw the 12 Monkeys movie, a comedy. But it also showed you at the end, which is more realistic, actually, that the person who unleash hell on the world, but it's probably someone who'll work at some big biowarfare company or some big pharmacological or vaccine company, because they deal with all the terrible viruses naturally. And someone who'd walk out with the vials and just start spreading it. And the actor who played the part fitted that very well, the psychopathic personality of not worrying, very calm and collected and free from any anxieties. He was carrying all these lethal stuffs through the airport, etc. And again, convinced he was doing the right thing to kill off humanity. See, it's the same with, if you look at those who do rule the world, actually, and who are not worried about any population that you have today. They know darn well that the population is declining, and folk are becoming sterile. And that's not by accident, naturally. And you'll see the side effects of it, too, where they use mass migration as an excuse that they need replacements, and they're not completely lying there. You understand, there isn't a switch to the next system, just like a switch. There's always a transition period over a long period of time, maybe a generation. Maybe a full generation, maybe less. But when you hear people, for instance, really screaming about Trump okaying almost about 500,000 workers in high tech from India, yeah, they should be training them here, absolutely, etc., etc. But they're looking towards more than that, just that. They bring them in from India knowing, you see, that the workers from India still have family values. See, yours have been destroyed deliberately, but those from India have strong traditional family values, and they will bring in wives decide, because they choose wives and so on, and they'll have big families, and they will definitely produce a crop, because that's what we are. The present crop's dying off. They'll bring in a crop of workers for the future, because they're not getting produced in the West here. Everybody's running around in their tight pants and getting covered in tattoos and playing themselves, you see. They're not having children, because that's what they've been trained to do and how they think and so on, not to have children, not to get married. There's been a war on the West for a long time, and so many of the big players, as I say, for instance, like the Maurice Strong, were quite open about it. They had a hatred, an absolute hatred for Western people and the societies they'd built. They called the biggest curse on the earth, etc., etc. Hasn't changed. And there's elements behind this too that I won't go into here, but it's to do with occultic, an occultic system. Even the folk who think they're in it today don't even understand, because they're low level. Even if they think they're high level, there's much, much higher levels, but they don't know. It's completely intertwined with what's happening today, the things that are happening, and right down to even the necessity for population reduction, etc. That is not a new concept at all. So those who are complete existentialists, like Wiener was, with his cybernetics and the human use of human beings, the one he wrote to, he was definitely existentialist, but so you have them, and then you have all the people down below who go along and they play with what they're called the New Age, allowable and pushed, promoted through television for years and years and years. They call it spirituality, fine candles and things and cardboard with paintings on them and stuff like that. It's fine, folks. But you don't know what's behind it at the top, do you? And what the big players from the past were really involved in, you have no idea. It's so sad, so sad that people think they make their own decisions. Everything's got a purpose, as I say, even right down to the fashion of the things you wear. Because that's not kidding you. You look at some of them, and they're all so proud how skinny they are. They look like anorexic, a lot of people. I'm not kidding you. And it isn't just pictures and newspapers or magazines. It's in your own areas. Even in the Sudbury, you'll see it too. How they all copy something that's put out for them to copy. And they want to all be the same, so I don't want to be different, you know. And And then they'll start becoming anorexic to fit into all these clothing, to look really good, because being anorexic is the look now. There's all these stories about vegans and veganism, and now they have these paid little armies of NGOs again to attack farmers across the world. And getting away with it, folks. It's because it's the agenda, and that's what's getting promoted. And you'll be good, good, good when you can, they can hardly see you. You'll be so skinny. But you're eating all the right things. You're told to eat, like your cricket burgers. Remember the cricket burgers? That was a big thing when he pushed and so on. And no meat. You have Leica meats. That's okay. Leica meats, you know. Fake stuff and so on. Because that's all. That's your masters have decreed that's the way it's going to be. And they've decreed that you're good if you do what you're told. You see? And most folk definitely will. And they want good social credit scores. And even though I'm saying it in a jocular fashion, I'm dead serious about it. That's what it's all for. Absolutely. And the people at the top who will probably penalize me for saying all this stuff, and I do get this, will make my life a bit of a hell, because they're completely intolerant, because this is a totalitarian system you're living in, folks. It is totalitarian. Absolutely. 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 No doubt about it. So let me see now, before I run out of time here. Once again, the systems which control you and have got power, they can control finances, everything now, and my God, they're using it. And there's not a peep from your government, you notice, to say, oh, this isn't right. Have you noticed that? Because you see, you're in a new governance system. This is the new governance system. All planned for you. But it says here, there's an article about the 1990s. It was a simpler time for Google, you know, when it was starting up or beginning to get known by the people. And the nascent company was merely a search engine and Gmail, Android, and YouTuber, but glimmers in the startup's eyes. But anyway, the first privacy policy they're talking about here was simple. And then it goes on. The version of the internet and Google's is gone. Over the past 20 years, the same privacy policy has been rewritten into a sprawling 4,000-word explanation of the company's data practices. 4,000 words. Now, who is going to spend their lifetime reading this thing? It's the same with everything now, isn't it, though? So this evolution came across two decades and 30 versions of their policy. And as the story of the internet's transformation through the eyes of one of its most crucial entities, the web is now terribly complex, and Google has a privacy policy to match. I'll put that link up for you. It starts in 1999 and goes up through all of them. If you want to waste your time looking at it, you can do it. But everything's the same now, you see. Because you must consent. You must consent. You see? Like Huxley said, you must consent to love your servitude. Because you're owned, understand? If you use all this stuff, you're owned, and they have authority over you, and they can make your life hell, or they can actually close down your life. I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you, folks. Think about it. This article, Elon Musk's Neuralink plans to hook humans' brains directly to computers, it says. He's an entrepreneur, he's a businessman, right? Not an inventor. His brain chip will ultimately achieve a sort of symbiosis with artificial intelligence. Well, there's your cybernetics right there. This is all from years and years and years ago. Now is the time to bring these people forward to implement them, you see. There you go. Artificial intelligence. So the startup called Neuralink has made its first major public announcement revealing flexible threads designed to link human brain directly to a computer and so on and so on. They float the idea every so often, even in movies, but it's here. It's because it's here. And these people are really, they're fronts, as far as I can see. They're not inventors. They're just put out there with fronting the money, basically, to make it all happen. But and a lot of their funding is actually government-backed as well, isn't it? They don't use, even whoever the backing money is, it's generally coming from government, too. The gods, the hidden masters, they're coming forward, eh? But they're not the masters either. The Swedes are having futuristic microchips implanted into their skin to carry out everyday activities and replace credit cards and cash. Now, a few years ago, I did articles where they had nightclubs, one in the States, one I think in Sweden too at the time. But it was the trendy thing. Oh my God, yeah, I'm ahead of the pack. I've got a little chip in, and they could load up the chip with credits or cash or some kind. And you just put your hand over the bar thing and the code reader, and it would deduct it from you, so your beer was taken off, etc. But of course, the next step to the next step and the next step. And here they go. It says it's very Black Mirror. Swedish scientist Ben Liberton told the Post of the similarity of the TV series highlighting futuristic scenarios. Well, that's what these futuristic scenarios are for. They're predictive program, getting used to the idea, so you think it's all quite natural when it comes along. Another thing, too, you're owned, as I say, like an animal. That's really how the existentialists see you, as animal behavior. They actually use the terms in their own writings. So selling yourself is a growing market for your DNA data. No kidding. Ah, wow, I can make money off my DNA data. Well, run for the hills, folks, if you fall for this kind of stuff, and you're a good match for somebody who's awfully wealthy anywhere in the world, because they actually do have these networks, eh? Where all this stuff is instantly put up on the websites, in different sites. And if you're a good match for somebody, you might just have a nasty quick accident, you know, or disappear. Because that's the world you're living in. And the National Health Service in Britain is to sell DNA tests to healthy people and push to find new treatments. So you say, wait, they want to help you, right? And so cutting back the giving healthcare to people, they want to treat you better. You know, they can tailor make the treatment to suit your illness. Well, they certainly can, actually, in a lot of illnesses, but they won't do it for you or me, you see. But they do it for other folk who are much more important and wealthy. That's reality as well. And the US has picked DNA centres that will sequence 1 million genomes using volunteers. But some folk who get the grants, $28.6 million, this is, they'll do themselves awfully well for careers, I'm sure, and jobs for life, that kind of money, for a few folk. But they're going to track your health, your diet, environment of 1 million people of all races, I like to say they say that too, who've handed over the genetic data to the project. They give over your genetic data. And then China's $9.2 billion precision medicine initiative could see about 100 million whole human genomes sequenced by 2030, and more if sequencing costs drop. Then you have some nasty stuff I won't even go into, but it's really a rehash of what's been happening before about what they really do burn to keep some of the hospitals' heating costs down. You don't want to know. I like the term, though, human waste. You know, if you understand what they're saying there, well, there's nothing left for you folks. We're folk are called human waste. Also an article, too, from last year from Holland, who they were one of the first countries to start euthanasia. And of course, naturally, it blossoms once they get it on the book. And they've even, they've even killed off their own people here and there who didn't want to be euthanized. And that's what happens when government takes over, you see. That's what happens, folks. What do you expect? It's really all for. To help you? You'll cost money, you see, to treat you. Even though you can be treated with many, many things today. And live longer. But nope, it's cost effective. And now, of course, in Holland, they actually allow euthanasia for folk with psychiatric illnesses. That's what Hitler was blamed for too, for his racial hygiene and all that kind of stuff, and purity hygiene stuff. They bumped off those who had congenital problems in the hospitals. And here they're doing it now. But it's a good thing when the rest of the world does it, you see, because it's authorised. I mean, you don't want people suffering, do you, for goodness sake, eh? So it's okay. You understand that you can be convinced of anything, and you already have been in many ways, by the professionals of emotion and the way they present things to you. Just too easy, folks. Because that's what runs us, the behaviourists and so on. With an army of helpers and techniques and specialists to bring you to the right opinions. And pretty well anything and everything. I'll put the article up too. And then there's one too to do with Lyme disease, biowarfare again. Now I remember talking years ago about Canada, that really led the world during World War II and after it for a while, and biowarfare. And in fact, Canada, I don't know if they still do, but they were breeding what they called the bomber mosquitoes. That was a nickname. Big mosquitoes. They can carry a larger dose of bacterium. Because it's a large dose of bacterium or viruses that can decide where it's going to take once you get bitten. Too small, it might not work. Your immune system might fight it off. But if you've got a big enough loading dose, you see, you often succumb. And you get the infection that was designed or desired in that particular case. The U.S. House of Representatives has called for an investigation in the States into whether the spread of Lyme disease had its roots in a Pentagon experiment in weaponizing ticks. And the ticks, of course, are well known for it. As I say, Canada led the world for a while. And there was a book called Deadly Allies, about World War II and afterwards, but it was Canada's secret war. And how some famous people, including Bansing, that was a hero for getting insulin, getting that going for diabetics, for instance. But he actually worked with the war labs for killer diseases for the enemy, to be using the enemy, and their agricultural system for crops, by the way, like fungal systems, and which is already happening, if you've noticed, in the West, the States and all that. They're saying it's really reactions to all the herbicides that they've been using. It's allowed these different funguses to take off. And now they're giving funguses in different parts of the country, in the States, and also in Latin America, the fungus to kill off mosquitoes. That's the excuse they're giving. But once they display the stuff, often it takes off by itself. I guess it keeps growing, eh? Anyway, Canada, as I say, they also develop stuff to be used for livestock, for instance. To be used on enemy civilian populations and livestock for long, long-term warfare. That's how you work things out. If you can kill off their agriculture, kill off their livestock, starve them to death and so on, then eventually you'll have won, unless they've done it to you as well. Canada did create these giant mosquitoes really, that were to be exported to the States eventually after World War II, to Plum Island initially. And they would then attach the different viruses and bacteria was there. But Canada had its own bio labs too, where they designed pretty nasty, lethal, awful things. And in the book, I think they said they even sprayed over parts of Alberta and Canada on herds of deer. And I think these things had something similar to spongiform encephalitis, and something akin to Lyme's disease. Well, here you go with the story now. because the US now has got an awful, for years now, and some of the states, an awful problem with Lyme's disease, and so many ticks just, some folk come out, get their dogs coming in, just been in the garden maybe for an hour, and you've got to take about 12 ticks off them, like commonly every other day, yeah? And the folk are getting them too. So, as the House of Representatives in the US has called for an investigation to whether the spread of Lyme disease has its roots in the Pentagon experiment in weaponizing ticks. And I'll put this article up, and they say, well, that stopped years ago, that, you know, I mean, they did it. But remember, they've got all the bacterium types that they use to attach to ticks if they won't use it again, and the viruses too. I remember 2 years ago, I did a show when I kept the articles from the British papers, where a man and his dog that commonly walked around the outside perimeters around Portland Downs years ago, he walked his dog every night around the same walks. He eventually came down with, they thought it might have been a tick bite. And the same with his dog. They called it the X factor, or X disease, because they weren't sure what kind of disease it was. It was dead with before 24 hours passed, and they put it down to some experimental thing. That's what folk thought at the time. But so they definitely have this kind of stuff, of course. But of course, they say, oh, I'm not using it now. No, no, we just did it just to see what would happen. You know? Mm-hmm. Just like they used the cadmium back there years ago to spray the people. And it's yellow cadmium, eh? In the hope that people would mistake it for pollen. Highly carcinogenic. But again, you go on for hours with this kind of stuff, and I don't plan to do that. So anyway, another article over and over again, military has conducted dangerous biowarfare experiments on Americans. Never mind the fact, as I say, before we go and sterile, like all over the place, eh? Come on. Too many people, oh my God. And you start with, what a coincidence, eh? Mm. And then again, because you're goody-goody and you can fit into your little, you know, painted-on pants, basically, and you get a good credit score. And listen to this, this is definitely an ad, you see. Disguised as a little article, but cricket juice healthier than orange juice. Many insects loaded with antioxidants, study finds, it says. Oh my God. That's what you want, antioxidants, isn't it? Even though, mind you, there's stacks of studies out now saying that all these radicals, etc., if you eradicate them and antioxidants and add antioxidants, then cancers will take off. I mean, for everything they tell you, there's always another study that will tell you the opposite. So insects and bugs aren't exactly the most appetizing food items, but that doesn't stop a quarter of each population, the Earth's population, right? An estimated 2 billion people, right? From eating, and I tell you, this population statistic is what a joke is. To when you really look at what folk were putting out years, just a few years ago, not long ago at all, about the population of the planet, you know, and there's no real survey been done, you know, that across the whole planet, no way at all. Now, some countries won't even give out their statistics, some of the big ones. Anyway, it says it's hard for most folk to get their heads around eating bugs. That doesn't change the fact that many insects are excellent sources of protein, fiber, and vitamins. A new study out of Italy has found, as the stacks of studies getting paid, to put it this way, one more reason to consider eating insects. Certain types are absolutely packed with antioxidants. There you go. Maybe you can get all those ticks gathered up, eh, and dehydrate them and fry them up into tick burgers. How's that? Hey, this is a big push to you, because then they want to get rid of cattle and pigs and everything else for you. But the elite will always have their own special private places for their own beef herds, folks, just like their royal family in Britain. Mm. And then this other article, cricket juice, health and orange juice. Wow, that's beautiful, that, wow. And then you've got this. Tim Hortons discovered Canadians have a real appetite for fake meats. Wow. So the coffee chain announced Wednesday. This is obviously an ad, right? Put a disguise as a little article. Because I've never met any Canadians have a real appetite for fake meat at all. This is what you had in 1984, in the movie versions as well as the book, where Winston's sitting in the canteen, and they're all sitting eating that white gup of a kind of soya product, and his neighbour says, well, look at this. His neighbours always want to be accepted, you see, and saying all the right things. Oh, look at this. Looks like meat, tastes like meat. You know, there's not a bit of meat in it at all, he says. Yeah, there you go. You think we're just hitting this point by itself? You're living to a timetable, folks. They knew this stuff years ago. This is where you want to bring you to, right? So anyway, Tim Hortons is going to make this available, this Beyond Meat, it's called, right? Breakfast sandwiches. Make it 4,000 restaurants in Canada. There you go. I wonder if they put cameras there to show the people, the customers eating. Maybe I can get some good points, because I'm getting hammered right now, by putting on these black pants, you know, these painting them on, and going to Tim Hortons and order one of these super burgers, you see, with no meat at all, and stand in front of the camera showing that I'm being awfully, awfully good by eating them and smiling as I choke it down, you see. Oh, get some good points from across my social credit system. There you go. And another article too says Extinction Rebellion. This is a big movement they got across Europe now to try to force everybody to go along with all this stuff, you see, because too many of you, and you're destroying the planet, and you're causing global warming and all that rubbish, you see, because you think we never had summer before. The summer here is your pretty typical Sudbury summer up here. Incredibly high humidity, which is the normal. Lots of rain here and there, you see, in between. And high heat, and buggy as can be. And no, it's not abnormal. I've got a memory. I don't need to have the news tell me. I don't. I can remember last year and the years before. Last year was the driest summer I'd had for a while. Now I'm back to normal, yeah. That's how weather normally happens. But Extinction Rebellion is led by extreme Marxists who want to bring down the government and say people might die in the process of uprooting capitalism. Yep. And the guy who's supposedly head of it, the street level head, not the ones at the top that really plan it all and fund it and so on, is called Roger Hallam. He's one of the leaders in Britain. And he's actually said that they might have to, it might go bad and folk will die, you know. I don't know if Britain will ever react to anything anymore because they don't even bother even investigating a lot of the knifings they have now in certain areas because of the certain areas. And to put folk in prison over there, the country's so broke. It's so broke. And you keep getting more and more folk to put in prison. Well, that's when you've got a failing system. You can't afford it. So anyway, this guy says that he was being trained going to university for a training course, actually. And they actually teach stuff like that at university, you know, how kind of anarchist-type techniques and so on. I guess you get a degree in it. He says the shocking statement was revealed in a policy exchange report authored by former counter-terror chief Richard Walton, which added that AXAR, whatever, is aimed at achieving a breakdown of the state and democracy. Well, no kidding. Well, what are they going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Again, too, you understand that the big folk, even the Club of Rome said this, they would use, those who rule the world used the term democracy for a long time. They had no ever illusions that they'd actually give real democracy to the people. Never happened. And they've always said, like Club of Rome said, they wanted to bring in a new governance system. Very explicitly so. And they used environmental movements as a big push to try and convince the public to say, well, we can't survive unless we change the system and you let us rule you, basically, the specialists and so on, etc. This democracy thing is in the way. You can't get things done. To save you all, we've got to just change the system. What's this, what this guy's doing in a different way on the street level, you see, with his followers? It's all the same thing. And it says, others claim, and some of the members are getting fed up now, you see, because we're using vegans not to shout and rebel, etc. But it says that some of them have left, claiming that infighting amongst themselves, that's pretty typical, within the group, and that some are being bullied by vegan members who are the most radical of all. The vegan members are the most radical. Well, that's exactly what I'm telling you, folks. And that's what's held up to be goody-goody, you see. And that's what you're going to get with your very tight, painted-on white, black, or black pants, I should say, you know. And showing out how skinnily vegan you are, you know. And you'd be goody-goody, you see. And you can be a revolution at the same time. I guess that's plus good, isn't it? Like Orwell would say, I suppose. So there you go. Google again, the big monstrosity under Alphabet. This is running everything, the financial systems, electronic cash. Your whole life, they've got total power now, folks, if you haven't quite figured it out. Most of us, I say, don't care. And they'll keep their heads down and say all the right things. They all know what you're supposed to say about anything. And they hope to be left alone. They'll be goody-goody-goody. And Google is to pay a million dollar fine for targeting children with adverts on YouTube and then illegally collecting their data following FTC investigation. And they're using it right down their lives. They're doing studies on them all, you see, too. And it says a multi-million-dollar fine anyway. I won't stop it. Of course I won't stop it. This is all part of the new form of governance, folks. It is. It's not by your vote, no. It's by policies. Our policy says, you know. And they change their policy whenever it suits them. And depending on who you are. That's how it's done. And as I say, complete intolerance. That does not bode well at all, this complete intolerance. You cannot have a society of clones. You can't have it. You must have different opinions on different things. It doesn't matter if you like it or not. Or what's been said. It doesn't make it. If you can't take stuff you don't like, well, don't look at it. It shouldn't bother you. But once it's gone, you're in trouble, folks. Anyway, but this whole thing with Iran, as you know, has been building up because Iran has been given the choice to start fighting back. Eh? And Iran's on the list, as we all know, that wasn't finished off when Bush was in. And they're still going at it. And Britain, of course, had seized one of the Iranian oil tankers, I think it was, near Gibraltar, under pretext. And so what Iran's done now is to seize a British one, you see. If Iran's under embargo, and the only income they'll get is from exporting oil, if they can't export oil, then they starve to death. And that's their choice right now. I'm not standing up for one or the other. I'm just saying this is your geopolitics. And they want everybody to hate Iran as being the bad guy. But the fact is, they were complying with their treaty that was drawn up, the Rusty sign. And the Atomic Energy Commission, folks were in there every twice a year, whatever, gave them clean bills. They had not made the dirty uranium stuff to make the bomb and all that. There's other things behind it. Certain folks just don't want it in the area. They don't want what they call it. They want a secular government running the whole show. Completely secular. That's what they did with Egypt, remember? They weren't happy with who was voted in, so they had to get him out to get in another character. So there are people in this world who run the world who are never happy with anything. And even if they comply, they're not happy either. There's other agendas at work. But Iran is supposed to be turned into the Stone Age, just like Iraq and Libya, and not quite Afghanistan because of the hilly country, etc., and how old the clansmen are there, the tribesmen. It's the same, we're living through a script, you see. Everything's a script, because the future is always planned by those who are in control, and who own it, basically, or think that they own it, or say that they do. I guess they do, since no one else is... I don't know, do you have the authority to tell armies to go here, go there? Well, of course you don't. And of course, the world's always been scratching its head since at least Gulf War I, at least and probably before, as to what's America even doing over there? And everywhere else, hundreds of bases over across the world. Mm-hmm. And don't forget, they're trying to say that the other possible enemy could be China. Otherwise, you wouldn't need a military. You see, they always got an enemy. What a farce. Since your own countries signed agreements to export the factories in your countries all over to China years ago under the free trade deals. But that's the way of it. So as I say, we're not going... I don't sit and fret too much, because you can't live by fretting about how nasty things are. You can understand them. That's all you have to do is understand them. And hopefully, sometime in your life, you can pass information on to other people. Down through time, information has been passed on by a few to those who pick up the knowledge of... If you understand the past, you're done for. And the present becomes the past, you see. And they're constantly changing the histories of the past, aren't they? Like Orwell said they are. So you need people who have the facts to pass it on. Awfully important. Because it's always a few in every generation. It's always the few who have the, whatever reason, who knows why, but they have that need to know, and the need to take the bad news too. Because you understand how the whole system works, including how nasty it's been in the past, including your own lifetime. This is not a utopia by any means. When they keep telling you how wonderful it is, no, that's Disneyland, folks. That's not reality. That's not reality. And you will, as you're, as I say, having fun, and you're surfing the net, and you're looking at all these faraway places with sweet-sounding names, and going, wow, and whoa, and then you'll give little comments, and it's all noted immediately with 1,000 different programs just working on you. And then they'll come down and say, but you spent 10 minutes more than you should have watching this. Naughty, naughty, you should be in your bed 10 minutes ago, you see. Or you won't be refreshed for working tomorrow for your lord and master. But you come to love your slavery, as I say. Because the yoke is light, isn't it, with this particular one? Seems so at the moment, but it's not always going to be so light. And it isn't already when they're telling you, you know, about social credit systems, for goodness sake. Total conformity to the boss. Total conformity. That's what they mean. And every opinion you have is downloaded into you, and you better repeat it or else. Complete intolerance of viewpoints. That's your masters today. With the blessings, obviously, of all your governments. Or, if they're not really governments, what are they nowadays? Oh, yeah, they're called governance. Okay. Anyway, don't sit and dwell on it. I've crammed in a lot, maybe more than I was going to do tonight, but time does fly in. And survive the summer, for those who are getting a decent summer, you know. Don't fret about it all. Don't listen to the high numbers. Just before I go, I looked up the hottest days that for the UK, for instance, as an example, and a few other countries too, over a few years. And when they say the Britain's had the hottest day for X amount or whatever, since it started in the early 1900s, or, you know, that's not true. They'll say the highest point the hit was, and they'll mention a little county somewhere in England or Wales, during a concrete forest where they put the thermometers and the sensing equipment and so on, the electronic stuff. And so it's got all that stuff reflected back in it. But the fact that they used that reading for that one place, for the whole of the country, the highest reading for that one wee place, you see, for the whole of the country. Whereas in the county next to them, it could be quite a few degrees lower. The cons that they put, this is from their own websites at the Met, for the Met Office. You have to really, how the games are played, eh? Huh? How the games are played. Quite something. Because agendas must be pushed through. Everything's counting on it. Now, before I finish, I got to remind myself, as well as you, they can buy the books and discs at cuttingthroughmatrix.com. And you can use personal checks, or you can send cash, or use PayPal, and different other methods of doing it. You can send postal money orders, too, outside Canada. I make sure it's an international postal money order, which you get at your post office. It's a lot cheaper, actually, in some ways to do it. And remember, too, that you can buy the books and discs there, too. So you can donate, that's always acceptable, because I certainly need it for... And these days, I'm sure we're all having hard times, of course. And that helps you take along And as the cost of living goes up and up and up, we're all suffering from it. We all know what's happening as the currency can buy less and less, need more and more dollars or whatever it happens to be to buy the same amount of things. So remember, go into cuttingthroughmatrix.com website and you can purchase items, or you can just donate to me and help me keep along. And take note of the links to my official sites listed on the com site in case the com ever goes down. Thank you. Anyway, for myself from Ontario, Canada, I'm Alan Watt, and may your God or your gods go with you.
Truth on the tracks.